You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Most of us feel pretty proud of ourselves for being able to get overseas and visit a few faraway countries. But you can aim higher and go bigger, like Jessica Nabongo has. This Detroiter is a writer, a photographer. She shares her travels on her blog, The Catch Me If You Can. Her goal, to possibly be the first Black woman to visit every single country recognized by the United Nations, 195 countries. And guess what? Jessica Nabongo is just one country away from that goal. She leaves for the Seychelles on Saturday, and she's here with us now. Jessica, how long did it take for you to pull this travel feat off?
So I've been traveling internationally since I was four. My family is from Uganda, and so my parents have a love of travel. And besides going to Uganda and the UK when we were younger visiting family, we went to places like Jamaica, the Bahamas, Mexico. And so my sort of wanderlust, I suppose, just went, it grew from there. I've always been a geography nerd. And so post-university, I did my first trip across the Atlantic without my family, and I went to Paris, Madrid, and London. And after that, I was like, I survived. I can do this. So it's really been a journey that's taken a lifetime so far. But in February 2017, I really set out on this feat. And at that point, I was at 60 countries. So I finished the last 135 in about 2.5 years.
Let's get back a little about just the nuts and bolts of this. It's an ambitious goal and it's costly. So in terms of money, how were you able to pull this off financially?
Well, I had savings. I also work for myself. So I have a luxury boutique travel agency that I run called Jet Black. I also do partnerships with brands around content creation on social media. I've had a few partners in terms of like tourism boards and some hotels who've offered me free accommodations or free tours, and that has definitely helped. And then using social media, primarily Instagram, I've built a community of people who have been supporting me for a few years and was able to also raise money with their support.
So you got creative. You got creative.
Yeah, I did.
All right. I have to ask you about, and I have traveled on my own as a woman, and so I'm wondering for you as a woman on her own in some pretty remote parts of the world, what kind of safety concerns do you have or safety precautions that you take? I mean, I'm just thinking of, like, for example, it was about a year ago when a 36-year-old American woman was murdered in Costa Rica. She was on her own on her dream vacation. So talk about safety.
Well, so I've done about 90 countries on my own, and that's across 6 continents. And with regard to safety, I typically am connected with local people just because that's the way that I prefer to explore country. But I think beyond that, I use positive energy. I think a lot of the narrative around women traveling solo and it being scary, I think it's overplayed. The fact of the matter is most assaults on women, if we're talking sexual assault or whatever, most assaults happen to women by people that they know. So statistically speaking, so actually traveling may in fact be safer. And I think for me, I do feel like being positive has drawn positive energy to me, because when I think about all of my travel experience, not just to 194 countries, but I lived in London, I lived in Rome, I lived in Benin in West Africa, I lived in Japan, and I felt safe in most of those situations. Well, those, all of them. But so I think the concern about safety is definitely exaggerated. And I definitely, for me, I would say my caution or precaution boils down to me emitting positive energy. And I feel like that has been the reason that this journey has gone off without any like hiccups in terms of me being in unsafe situations.
You know, we hear talk, Jessica, of blending in if you're spending time in a country and trying to, you know, live like a local. I have to imagine as a Black woman from Detroit, that was not always possible, was it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the world is super diverse, mm-hmm. but the world is more Black and brown than it is white. So I think I can actually blend in more often than not.
But what about the countries where you did not? What was that like? How did the locals respond to you and your journey and your story?
Yeah, a lot of picture taking. So in places like Central Asia, you know, like Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, there were a lot of picture taking. I remember remember me and a friend, we were at the Taj Mahal, and there was a queue of people taking pictures with me. And it was so funny because we're like, you are at the Taj Mahal and you want to take a picture of me? But, you know, a lot of people don't see tourists that look like me. And so I think that was that's also a really important part of this journey, like helping to normalize Black women, Black men, and, you know, people of color traveling around the world simply for tourism.
What about places that you visited that were striking in people's acceptance of you as a woman of color, where you really felt, you know, there was a clear absence of racism? Have you got examples of that?
I think it's most of the world, honestly. I think, you know, the U.S. is a very particular place. And for me, I can't think of, like, an exception. Because while, yes, I've been to places and they have not really seen people who look like me, so it brings a lot of curiosity, I'm always met with warm, open arms. And, you know, particularly traveling alone, it's been amazing because, like, I just came back to Detroit 2 days ago and I had to stop through Jordan. And while I was there, I met up with my tour guide. And, like, when we saw each other, we cried because we, in the 6 days that I was in Jordan last year, we really became like family. As Americans, I know that there's a preoccupation with race, and there should be because it is very much a part of our everyday lives here. But for me, what I enjoy about being outside of this country is that I don't have to think about it that much. For sure, definitely at borders. But once I'm inside of the borders and I'm just hanging out, there's not a preoccupation with my race.
So, Jessica, the travel blogging industry, the Instagram industry, it can be a white space. So how do you navigate that as a woman of color?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I feel like I've learned a lot on this journey in terms of how people value people of color in the travel space. Again, I think so much of my journey is about disrupting the narrative of what the average traveler looks like, and also the assumption about who can afford travel. But yeah, it's definitely been a challenge. You know, I have other friends who are visiting every country, and oftentimes they get hotels to give them complimentary stays, or they get tourism boards to fly them in. And I may ask those same tourism boards and those same hotels, and they'll tell me no, even though I have a higher following, even though, you know, I have a larger media footprint. You know, I've experienced very, very clear and blatant racism in this travel space as it relates to being a so-called travel influencer, for sure.
Jessica, what are some of the easily overlooked, underappreciated countries or some place that you cannot wait to go back and visit again that surprises you that you feel that way?
I love that question. I love Jordan. Jordan is definitely my favorite country in the Middle East. The people, the food, the culture, the sights. I loved Iran. I think Iran is one of the most beautiful countries in the world. People are very open and kind. Uzbekistan is also incredibly beautiful. Kenya, I've been so many times and I just love it. It's like a second home to me at this point. Where else? I think that's a good list.
So you're aiming to be the first Black woman to visit all the recognized countries in the world. Who will document that? How will you verify that?
There is an organization called Nomad Mania who's already verified that I had been to, I think at that point, it was around 170 countries. So they're one of the verifying bodies in the counting countries space.
Okay.
But other than that, there's not like an official title or award. And that's why when we talk about it, we say first documented, because, you know, by going to my website or whatever, we have the documentation that I've done this.
Jessica, somebody sitting and listening to us talk at a desk or behind a counter or at work, at school, and wondering what it would be like to travel more. What advice do you have for people to kind of get moving in this direction?
Yeah, I think the biggest piece of advice I have is travel is just moving outside of your comfort zone. It's moving outside of your everyday life. So it may not necessarily be passport stamps for some people, but, you know, I think hop in a car, rent a car, drive 50 miles from your home, drive 100 miles from your home, go someplace new in your city. if you do want to travel outside of the country, I always say chase the deal, not the destination. You know, as recently as last week, I think I saw like a $500 flight from Detroit to Rome nonstop. I think, you know, travel is definitely becoming more accessible in terms of pricing. So it's definitely a great time to get out there and explore the world.
So when are you leaving for the Seychelles for to make your last country?
On Saturday.
Well, there we go. We caught you between trips. Jessica Nabongo, her travel blog is The Catch Me If You Can. Thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you so much.